Dustin, I've been in cybersecurity for 20 years, and I've seen a lot of the sky is falling narratives. Y2K, Heartbleed, you name it. But the quantum threat to encryption feels different. Is this one real, or is it another overhyped deadline?
It's real. And what makes it different from Y2K is the harvest now, decrypt later strategy. Adversaries don't need to wait until they have a quantum computer to start exploiting this. They can collect encrypted data today, store it, and decrypt it in 5 or 10 years when a quantum computer is available. So the deadline isn't when the quantum computer arrives. The deadline is now, because data being encrypted today is already at risk.
Welcome to TechNova. I'm Dr. Sarah Chen.
And I'm Marcus Webb. Today we're joined by Dr. Dustin Moody, mathematician and post-quantum cryptography lead at NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Dustin, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Dustin, let's start with the basics. Why does quantum computing threaten our current encryption?
Sure. So the encryption we use today falls into two categories. First, symmetric encryption, things like AES, which is used for encrypting data at rest and in transit. Second, public key cryptography, things like RSA and elliptic curve cryptography, or ECC, which is used for key exchange, digital signatures, and authentication. The quantum threat is primarily to public key cryptography. In 1994, Peter Shor published an algorithm that, running on a sufficiently large quantum computer, can factor large numbers and compute discrete logarithms efficiently. Those are exactly the mathematical problems that RSA and ECC rely on for their security. So if you have a quantum computer big enough, RSA and ECC are broken.
And how big is big enough?
Estimates vary, but roughly you'd need a quantum computer with several thousand to a few million logical qubits, depending on the key size. We're not there yet. Current quantum computers have maybe 1,000 noisy physical qubits. But the field is progressing, and most experts think a cryptographically relevant quantum computer could exist within 10 to 20 years. Some say sooner.
And that's where the 2030 deadline comes from?
The 2030 timeline isn't about when a quantum computer will exist. It's about when you need to have migrated to post-quantum algorithms to be safe. The reasoning is, if a quantum computer arrives in, say, 2035, and it takes you 5 years to migrate your systems, you need to start in 2030. And for organizations with long-lived data, classified government data, medical records, financial data, data that needs to remain confidential for 10 or 20 years, you need to migrate even sooner, because that data is already being harvested today.
NIST has been running a competition to select post-quantum algorithms. Where does that stand?
We started the process in 2016. We put out a call for proposals, and we received 69 submissions from around the world. Over several rounds, we evaluated them for security, performance, and implementation characteristics. In 2022, we announced the first selections, Crystals Kyber for key encapsulation and Crystals Dilithium, Falcon, and Sphinx Plus for digital signatures. In 2024, we published the final standards, FIPS 203, 204, 205, and 206. These are now the official U.S. government standards for post-quantum cryptography.
Can you explain the difference between the key encapsulation and digital signature algorithms, and why you selected multiple options?
Sure. Key encapsulation, or KEM, is the replacement for RSA key exchange. It's how two parties establish a shared secret key over a public channel. Crystals Kyber, now standardized as MLKEM and FIPS 203, is our primary recommendation for that. Digital signatures are used for authentication and non-repudiation, proving who signed something. We selected three signature algorithms because different use cases have different requirements. MLDSA, which is dilithium, is the primary recommendation. It has a good balance of size and performance. Falcon, or FNDSA, produces smaller signatures but is harder to implement securely. And SLHESA, which is Sphinx Plus, is a fallback. It's based on hash functions, which are very well understood, but it has larger signatures and slower performance.
Why include a fallback? Is there concern about the primary algorithms?
It's good cryptographic hygiene. The new post-quantum algorithms are based on mathematical problems that haven't been studied as long as the ones underlying RSA and ECC. There's a small but non-zero chance that someone finds a breakthrough attack. Having a hash-based fallback, which relies on a completely different mathematical foundation, gives us a safety net. We also have a fourth round of candidates still under evaluation, in case we need additional alternatives.
Let's talk about the practical side. How hard is this migration for a typical enterprise?
It's hard. Honestly, this is one of the biggest cryptographic migrations in history, maybe the biggest since the move to RSA in the 1990s. And it's harder than that migration because the new algorithms have different properties, different key sizes, different signature sizes, different performance characteristics. You can't just swap out RSA for Kyber and expect everything to work the same.
What are the specific challenges?
Several. First, key and signature sizes are larger. An RSA 2048 key is 256 bytes. A Kyber key is about 1,600 bytes. That doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're putting keys in TLS certificates, in DNS records, in network protocols with packet size limits, it matters. Second, performance. Kyber is actually faster than RSA for key exchange, which is great. But some of the signature algorithms are slower. Third, implementation. You need new libraries, new hardware support, new testing. And fourth, discovery. Most organizations don't even know where all their cryptography is. Crypto is embedded everywhere, in applications, in middleware, in hardware, in legacy systems. Just finding it all is a massive project.
What's your advice for organizations that haven't started yet?
Start with a cryptographic inventory. You can't migrate what you don't know about. Find every place where RSA or ECC is used in your systems, and that includes third-party software, cloud services, APIs, everything. Then prioritize based on risk. Long-lived data first, public-facing systems next, internal systems last. And start with a pilot. Pick one system, migrate it to the new algorithms, and learn from the experience. The migration is going to take years, so the sooner you start, the better.
Is there a hybrid approach? Can you use both classical and post-quantum algorithms during the transition?
Yes, and we strongly recommend it. Hybrid key exchange, combining Kyber with ECDH, for example, gives you the best of both worlds. If the quantum threat materializes, you're protected by Kyber. If a weakness is found in Kyber, you're still protected by ECDH. Several protocols already support hybrid modes, including TLS 1.3 with the hybrid key exchange extensions. It's a pragmatic way to migrate incrementally without betting everything on the new algorithms.
How does the U.S. effort compare to what's happening in other countries?
NIST's process has been the global benchmark. We had submissions from over 25 countries, and our standards are being adopted worldwide. But other bodies are also working on this. The IETF is developing protocols that use the new algorithms. The ITU has recommendations. China has their own post-quantum standards, which overlap with but aren't identical to ours. The EU's cybersecurity agency ENISA has published guidelines. The UK's NCSC has been very active. So it's a coordinated global effort, though there are some regional differences in algorithm preferences.
What about the US government's mandate? There's a memorandum from the White House about this, right?
Yes, National Security Memorandum 10, issued in 2022, directed federal agencies to inventory their cryptographic systems and prepare for migration. And there's a follow-up directive requiring agencies to complete their inventory and begin migration planning. The goal is for federal systems to be post-quantum ready by 2035, with high-priority systems migrated sooner. The Office of Management and Budget is tracking agency progress, and there's real pressure to move forward.
Dustin, what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from this conversation?
Don't wait. The 2030 deadline is not far away, and the migration takes longer than people think. If you haven't started your post-quantum migration planning, start today. Do the inventory, assess your risk, run a pilot. The tools and standards are ready. What's needed now is execution.
Dr. Dustin Moody, NIST Post-Quantum Cryptography Lead. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you both. This was a great conversation.
And thanks to all of you for listening. This is TechNova. See you next time.